Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is George Putnam. May I welcome you to a brand new program, My Wildest Dream. Well, it seems that everybody has a really crazy dream, something they want to do or see or be or have. So tonight, you're going to have a chance to hear the wild dreams of some mighty charming people just like you. And to find those dreams, we have a panel of four well-known and clever performers. First of all, the ladies. Here's one whom you've heard as Blondie and seen as Polly and Andy Hardy. I mean, Ann Rutherford. And then we have a lady who's been seen in many great pictures and will shortly be seen in the Battle of Chief Pontiac, Helen Westcott. And now the gentleman. First, a man whom you've laughed at many times, he hopes, on many variety shows and TV, Roger Price. And finally, that man of 100 characters in radio and films, currently to be seen in the world in his arms, Hans Conried. And so to our first dreamer tonight. Would you sit right here? You already have, right beside us. We have a very happy-looking young man, Mr. Bert Forma. Young man with a happy smile, married with one son, about 16 months old. Mr. Forma's in the textile business, and where's your hometown, sir?
Los Angeles now.
Any hobbies?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Care to talk about them here?
Well, I think that goes along with my dream.
Oh, so we'll let it strictly alone.
Thank you.
I happen to know what it is. And now... Now let me explain what happens. The panel has three rounds of 1 minute each to ask questions, and for each negative, each no that you get, you'll be given $5 in the first round, 10 in the second, and 15 in the third round. The audience is being shown your dream, and the listeners are being told what is on the mic off stage.
Mr. Farmer's wildest dream is to have a harem.
All right, now we're all ready for the panel. Mr. Forma's dream is something he wants to have, panel. Shall we start with Hans Conry?
Is Mr. Forma, this is associated with your hobby. Is it a tangible thing you want to have?
Yes, definitely.
Is it a manufactured item?
No, I wouldn't say
hardly it. Hardly say it's manufactured.
Is your hobby of a, shall we say, of a physical nature?
Ann Rutherford would like to know if it's of a physical nature. I'd say
yes. I imagine it would be.
Definitely.
Like in an athletic way.
Not in the strictest sense, in an athletic way. Roger Price?
Will this involve any other persons besides yourself, sir?
I would say so, yes.
Will this involve a specific other person?
Not a specific person, no.
Sort of a gaseous type state of person. I pass.
That was a comment, I take it. All right, yes, Helen Westcott.
Are these people of both sexes?
No.
These
back
people.
Then
can we say that you endeavor, your endeavors or your desires are associated with more than one person, nonspecific, and something more than this gaseous, nebulous creation of my friend Price, who often has these creatures?
Mr. Forma, you've now won $6 in the first round. We go on to the second round, and after that question, would you care to put it again, or shall I go?
I don't remember what I asked, as a matter of fact.
Shall you and I, Mr. Forma, go out and have a lobotomy so we can understand?
More than one person. Your endeavors, your desires will associate you with actual persons of either, both, or indeterminate sex of more than one number.
I have to say no.
Mr. Forma...
Would you like to win a gold basketball?
Mr. Forma says no. We're back to Ann Rutherford again.
Does it involve women?
Yes.
Any specific age of women? Little women or big women. I mean, small girls or adults.
Size has nothing to do with it.
Size or age, there might be a preference, but it has nothing to do with it.
With women. Any particular group of women, like a certain class of women or a certain school of women? Possibly. I mean, by this I mean all red-headed women or all blonde women. Is it something?
No, no, no.
He's
not particular. Roger Price, you're up to bat.
Would this be illegal in this country?
Yes, I.
Are
I
you
think it
would be. A believer in monogamy? You know, not like the tables are made out of, but having one wife. Do you believe that? Are you a believer in that, sir?
I'm sorry. Will you
first we must find
question?
Out if Mrs. Forman's in the house.
I believe that Mr. Forma is a believer in monogamy, but
he doesn't
that has
have
nothing
a
to do with his wildest dream. Would
oh,
you say?
Does Mr. Would he like to have a harem?
You're yeah. Absolutely. Right. Roger Price has guessed it. Bert Forma's wildest dream is to have a harem. And thank you very much, Mr. Forma. You have won $18 in the second round.
From this he makes a hobby?
By the way, while we're up, what is his hobby?
we'll pass.
Mr. Forma, you're fighting us.
And now, panel, we'd like to have you meet a lovely young lady, Miss Doris Ross. She's about, certainly not over 25 years of age.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Miss Ross is a model, and she's unmarried. Well, now tell me, Miss Ross, have you any hobbies?
To get a man.
This is a hobby? Where's your home? Where do you come from, Miss Ross?
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Well, now remember, it's $5 for the first round, $10 for the second round, and $15 for the third round. And now the viewers are being shown your dream.
Miss Doris Ross's wildest dream is to take a bath in champagne.
And now I think we're all ready for the questions. Miss Ross's dream is something she wants to do, panel. And I believe it's Helen Westcott's turn.
Do you want to do this to someone?
Myself. You want to do it to someone?
Yes.
In what way? You mean, yes?
Well, rather than to something.
To someone would be the answer, right?
To someone. Is this person male?
No.
Righty.
Now we're back to Hunt's country.
Can you satisfy this desire within the confines of the United States?
Yes.
Is this lady well known to us?
I would say fairly well known.
Yes.
In the theatrical world?
No.
In the political world.
Now, just a moment. One question. Ann Rutherford.
Is this young lady the woman? Yes. She would like to do something to herself, like maybe bleach
her
hair.
Don't ever change, dear. Don't ever
change. Oh, thank you. She wants to do something to herself.
Yes.
Is this a physical change that she wishes to take place?
No.
She wants to get married, I'll bet you.
This wouldn't change your appearance at all, I hope. No, I mean, I assume that, yes.
Just a moment. Negative. This wouldn't change her appearance. That's the end of the first round, and Miss Ross has already taken us for $8. Helen Westcott.
While you were doing this, would you wear any specific type of costume?
No.
Hans Conrad.
Is it that you would wear no costume at all?
Yes.
Is it a bubble bath?
No.
Now, Ann Rutherford.
You would do this, well, there are several things. I mean, would you like to join a nudist camp?
No, not today.
Oh, it's a shame.
That is...
She wants to be a striptease artist.
Oh, just a minute. You've had a negative answer, and that's the end of the second round. $18 to Miss Ross's credit. Roger Price.
Have a conference, real quick.
All right.
You think that's it? Striptease
or tattooed?
Does it have...
have a nose pierce.
It's either that or some type taking a bath in some specific place. Is it have anything to do with the...
Macy's window.
It's so crowded. Yeah. Do you want to be a stripteaser?
No.
I'm
so glad.
Helen Westcott.
I take it that when you did this, you would be in the privacy of your own home.
I hope so.
I see. Would you be in one specific room in your house?
Yes.
Would you be in your bathroom?
Yes.
while you were doing this, would you be on water or in water? No.
Back to Hunt's Concrete again.
In live steam?
No.
Ann Rutherford.
Would the young lady like to take a bath in milk?
No.
Would she like... Does it have anything to do with taking a bath?
Yes.
But is it taking a bath in some peculiar manner or way?
You want to answer that? Because that's the end of round three.
No.
Absolutely not. All right. Now then, you've stumped the panel, Miss Ross. You've won. You've won $35. Now I put the question to you. You may keep the money that you've won, or you may bet all or any part of it on the chance that the panel can't get it after one more minute of questions. Now, if you decide to give them an extra minute, then we'll double whatever you bet. If they get it, then, of course, you lose whatever you bet. Now, what do you say, an extra minute for the panel?
An extra minute.
Are they close to
We've
your dream?
We've got to recap before we go into the
All right, panel. Just a moment. Are they close to your dream?
Quite close
to your dream. All right. Now, what do you want to bet? You have $35. Do you want to take any part of that? Or?
I think I'll bet it all.
You'll bet the whole $35.
Oh, all right. That's a good shot.
In the bathtub.
I hope she knows what she's doing.
All right. 1 minute to go, and do you want to recap before
the race begins? I want to recap. The last question is the thing that is most important.
All right.
I asked, does this involve taking a bath in some peculiar manner or peculiar substance?
I would say yes.
Oh.
Is this substance vegetable?
Yes.
Champagne?
Absolutely correct. Miss Ross wants to take a bath in champagne. All right, Miss Ross, sorry that you lost the $35, but thanks very much for being such a good sport. Here's our next contestant who wants to attempt to stump the panel. A very charming lady. Her name is Marjorie Merton. She's married with two teenage daughters. Her husband is a writer. And I wonder if you'd tell us, Mrs. Merton, have you any hobbies?
Yes, two or three.
Would you care to talk about them here?
Yes, but they're not very interesting. I sew a lot and I cook a lot.
And
that's about all the hobbies.
That's about it. Any others you could mention?
Well, a couple. One that has a little to do with my dreams, so I better not.
Well, that's all we want to hear about.
No. What is your hometown, Mrs. Merton? Do I detect a little British accent there, a little English accent?
That's right, London, England.
Oh, my goodness. When did you come over to this country?
12 years ago.
Uh-huh, that'd be 1940.
Yes.
Were you in England during the war?
No, just the first year.
Uh-huh, any bombing?
No.
Well, that's...
No, they just waited for me to leave.
It did. Well, now the audience and listeners are seeing and hearing what your wildest dream is, and the panel is about to begin questioning.
Mrs. Merton's wildest dream is to pin an ice button on Adelaide.
Well, the panel is certainly curious. No help from the audience, please. We're ready now for round one, and Mrs. Merton's dream is something she wants to do. Let's see, I believe it's Helen Westcott again.
Could you do this in this country?
Oh, yes.
Could you do it here in California?
Could be.
Would you do this alone?
Yes.
Would you wear any special type of clothing when you did this?
Anything would do.
Not necessarily, sure. Now we go right over to Hunt's Conry.
Are you purposely eliminating the association of your husband and two teenage daughters in this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Is it... I have another hand, if you like. Bless you for that, dear. Is it perhaps just as little a thing to do? Is it, will you take some short trip from your present residence?
If necessary.
May I assume that that's an affirmative answer that I'm making?
Yes, you may. Hot country.
Is it perhaps just to be alone, to get off, to...
No, nothing.
I
that would
want to be
nice,
as
but
as
that isn't it.
And now it's the turn of Ann Rutherford.
This thing that you want to do, that you say you can do alone, is it, do you want to do something for somebody?
I wouldn't say in the strictest sense. I think we'll
just for me.
Just for her own satisfaction.
It wouldn't benefit anybody.
Not a soul.
Not in her opinion, at least. No, I think we'll have to take a no answer on that. And by the way, that's the end of round one, and you've won yourself $6, Mrs. Merton. Now round two and Roger Price.
From the confused reaction of the audience at the question, I would like to know, does this have anything to do with politics?
Yes.
It has something to do with one of the any of the candidates now running for office in this great, grand, and glorious United States of ours.
Well, a fair successful contradiction, you say.
I feared for a moment he was going into a political speech on his own.
Would this influence either Mr. Eisenhower or Mr. Stevenson?
I doubt it.
I don't think in the slightest. We'll have to say no. Helen Westcott?
Would you be running yourself for some office?
No.
Hans Conried?
If not influencing either Mr. Eisenhower, General Eisenhower or Mr. Stevenson, would it influence the voters on either behalf?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Would it have anything to do with your casting your vote?
No.
No, I think her mind is made up and probably unchanged.
I thought she just wanted to cast two votes, perhaps, for Eisenhower.
Oh, good idea.
No.
Now we go on to Roger Price.
You are a citizen now, and you
I'm
vote.
Not.
You will hear, ha, 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 ho, 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 ho.
All right, where does that bring us, Roger? That brings us to Helen Westcott.
Would you like to become a citizen?
I would, but that has nothing to do with the
That has nothing to do with it.
That's the end of second round. Pardon me, Anne. $22 coming to you already, Mrs. Merton. And Rutherford.
She wants to alter something. Does she want to alter, for instance, anybody's appearance?
Yes.
One of the presidential candidates? Would it be... would it be Eisenhower?
No.
It would be, you want to, in other words...
Just a moment. That, no, was the answer. All right, Roger Price.
Well, let's see. Who else is there? Couldn't be Mr. Conried because he withdrew. Mr. Stevenson, you'd like to do something to alter Mr. Stevenson's appearance. Is this in the nature of a hirsute alteration in the sense of, you're saying, hairy to him?
No.
What was
Helen
that? I can't go on.
Hirsute,
that
question. Helen
Westcott. Yes, of course. would you like to do something to him from the neck up?
No.
No. Back to Hans Conried.
Well, of course, it must be from the neck down.
No, I know.
His tailoring is good and his neckties are impeccable. Impeach unimpeachable. Do you wish to aid him in a slight loss of weight, a little diet, perhaps?
No.
Oh, and
Rutherford. Oh, resole his shoes.
No!
All right, now.
And Rutherford.
We know it's Stevenson. We know she wishes to alter his appearance to some extent.
To some
right?
extent, right.
It doesn't involve from the neck up, so she doesn't want to shut his mouth. would she want him to... to alter his appearance? I mean, is this a radical alteration?
No.
No. So we go to Roger Price. Now we go to Roger Price.
This is not a radical alteration. You'd like to alter his appearance. It would be visible to the people looking at it
yes.
as he was speaking dressed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it does not involve loss of weight or nothing like a little wig or a mustache.
Nothing around his face.
No. Or you'd like to see him... it has anything to do with clothing?
Yeah, in a way.
Not in the strictest sense. I think we'll have to say no. I really do. Helen Westcott?
Does the act of throwing come into this?
No.
Helen, no. Back to Hans Conried. Sorry, that is 3 minutes, the third round, and you have stumped the panel, and Mrs. Merton, you have taken $64. Shall we go on from the $64 question? Very good, Mrs. Merton. You've stumped our panel for $64 in 3 minutes, three rounds. Now, do you want to go on?
Yes.
Oh, you do want to continue?
Oh, yes.
All right, what portion of the $64 do you want to put on the line?
Oh, the whole lot.
The whole lot, $64, panel. Are you ready? 1 minute now to determine. Do you think they're close to answering it?
No, I don't think they're very
you
close.
You don't? All right, Anne Rutherford.
She wants to alter his appearance. Does this mean perhaps she wants to add something to his body? Does she want him to wear something?
Yes.
Would the something have anything to do with Professor, with Eisenhower, something like an I like Ike something?
Yes.
On his lapel or on his tie? Perhaps you want him to wear an Ike, a Nixon button?
Okay.
Very, very good, panel. Very good, panel. You have discovered her wildest dream, and her wildest dream, Miss Marjorie Merton's wildest dream, is to pin an Ike button on Adlai. All right, we're all set now for our next contestant. Panel, I want you to meet Mr. Mark Irwin, a cheerful gentleman about, all youngish middle age. He's married, and, Mr. Irwin, what is your hometown, sir?
I'm from Boston, Mass.
Uh-huh. Have you any hobbies, sir? People from Boston.
Long way from Boston.
Have you any hobbies, sir?
I have two hobbies. I like to play golf, and I make mental bets on horses.
Uh-huh. Mental bets on horses? you want
to... He has nothing to lose but his mind, and it's not...
Well, I think that you know how we play, Mr. Irwin. Three rounds of questions and a chance, perhaps, to double your winnings after that. Now let's show the audience your wildest dream, and we're all ready
Mr.
to go.
Mr. Irwin's wildest dream is to hear Stalin sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Panel and audience, Mr. Irwin's wildest dream is something he wants to do. But now I must tell you that in this case, the do is not in the strict physical sense. Are we ready?
Okay. Okay.
Hans Conried.
Mr. Irwin, you want to attain some dignity?
No, thanks.
No. We're ready for Ann Rutherford now.
Does your ambition, this thing that you want to do, does it have anything to do with either of your hobbies?
No, nothing to do with my hobbies.
Roger Price?
Are other people involved in this?
Yes.
Is one specific other person involved in it?
Yes.
Do we know this other person? Is it a celebrity?
Yes.
Is it somebody in the theatrical world, sir?
No.
No. Helen Westcott.
Could you do this in California?
Possibly.
He'd like to, but I've got to say no.
No, but it's possible.
I think it's highly unlikely, Mr.
But it's
Irwin.
Possible.
But I think it's I think we'll give them a very bad steer. I think it's highly unlikely, Mr. Irwin.
It's impossible.
These people from home. Hans Conried.
Is it to enjoy a clear day in Los Angeles?
That's impossible.
No. Ann Rutherford?
Is this other person a woman?
No.
No. Roger
Pity.
Price?
Pity. Other person is a man.
It's a man.
Gotta have it up here when you understand. And this would not occur in the United States. Would you gain any...
He didn't say it wouldn't occur in the United States.
I mean,
are you asking a question?
In California, I'm so provincial.
That's right.
Would you gain any material benefit from this?
No, just satisfaction.
I'll buy that.
I'll sell it.
Helen Westcott.
When you did this, would you be horizontal?
It's possible. Probably afterwards.
Highly unlikely, Mr. Irwin.
Unlikely.
Thank you.
Hans Conried.
Have we decided that it would afford him no financial...
Yes. We did. No material gain.
It's a spiritual rather than a physical satisfaction.
Oh, spiritual.
Spiritual in
yeah.
terms. In which you assume a horizontal position.
Not necessarily, but it's possible.
Are you asking a question? I think we've been all through
that. I prefer not to. I want to get as much information as I can.
I could see that you're working in that drain. Hans Conried?
Is this... to pin a Stevenson button on General Eisenhower?
No. Ann Rutherford.
This person you have said that you're a little dubious in your remark whether or not they were in the theatrical world. So, all right, so we'll say they're not in the theatrical world. Perhaps not quite. It's a man. Is he in the political world?
Yes.
He is in the political
That's
world.
That's why I thought it might be theatrical.
Is he too. One of the presidential candidates?
No.
No, that is...
He's one of the vice
presidents. That is the end of round one, and you won yourself $12, sir. All right, into round two now, and Roger Price.
Is this man at present holding a public office?
Yes, he's holding.
Does this man have previous business experience which he can fall back on in case he...
that collapsed.
I would say yes, and I'd like to see him doing it.
I don't know what his... previous experience.
I think we're being awful.
I don't think we've located this personality yet or this individual.
Is this gentleman Mr. Harry Truman?
No, and he's no gentleman.
No. Mr. Irwin, be careful. You're saving yourself some money here if you don't. Ellen Westcott?
Is this person a member of the Democratic Party?
No.
Back to Hans Conried.
Is he a president of the Kremlin in Moscow?
Yes.
All right, we've established it's Joseph Stalin now. Now, where do we go from there? All right, Hans.
Is it that you want to but slightly alter his appearance or materially his state of being?
No.
To which of these, please?
No, to both of them.
All right, Ann Rutherford, we're ready for you.
He wants to do something with Stalin.
Well, not in a strict physical sense. Well, we'll go back to that again.
What's the reader?
I mean, I thought he'd be so darling to shave his mustache. But is it anything to do in a conversation with Stalin?
No
words would have to take place.
Not in a conversation. Roger Price?
Would this make this gentleman, Stalin, John Stalin, would this make him appear ridiculous in some way?
Well, it could in a certain way, but from my viewpoint, it couldn't.
It would make it ridiculous in Joseph Stalin.
In his viewpoint,
yeah.
Viewpoint,
this would be in the nature of something in the nature of a practical joke. It might be considered like pouring a bucket of red paint over his head.
No, I don't consider it a practical joke in that sense of the word.
It's not monkey business like that.
We're on to Helen Westcott. We said it wasn't physical.
Would you have to?
Pardon me, just a moment, Helen. That's the end of round two, and you've won yourself $32, Mr. Irwin. All right, Helen Westcott.
Would you have to be in the same room with Mrs. Stalin?
Not in the strictest sense.
Is that a yes or no?
No, I wouldn't have to be in the same room.
No, he wouldn't have to be in the same room. And remember, it is nothing physical. I mean, there isn't physical contact involved. Hans Conried?
But you must be in some physical proximity, even within, shall we say, pistol shot of Yusuf Djougashvili.
No. I could be around the corner. That isn't a pistol shot.
You're stumping our panel.
Doesn't it involve the use of any props at all?
No
anything,
props.
Anything, nothing in either hand?
No. Roger Price.
Would he have to be in hearing distance of you, sir?
Yes.
Does this involve making a rude noise on your part, if anything?
No.
Ellen Westcott?
Well, then...
Boston, they don't make rude noises.
Ellen Westcott, go on with a question.
You would yell something or say something to Joseph Stalin?
No.
You would Hans not. Conried?
To make Mr. Djougashvili sing a particular song?
Yes.
Say, Uncle?
No. Sing. The Star Spangled Banner, God
That's
bless
right.
America.
Mr. Mark Irwin's wildest dream is to hear Stallion sing the Star Spangled Banner. Well, that's all the dreams that we have time for tonight. Remember, if you have a wild dream and who hasn't, just send it to us. At the same time, tell us something about yourself, your job, or your hubby's job, the size of your family, your hobby, anything exciting or interesting about yourself. And then send it to My Wildest Dream, care of the station to which you're listening. Now, your dream can be funny, crazy, or serious. If we think it may give our panel a tough time, we'll invite you to come and try to stump them. And now on behalf of our panel, Ann Rutherford, Helen Westcott, Roger Price, and Hans Conried, this is George Putnam wishing you all longer and much wilder dreams.